You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
Last week, the coalition government announced its plans to rewrite Aotearoa's gun legislation. Changes proposed include reintroducing military-style semi-automatic weapons, which were banned shortly after the Christchurch mosque attacks in 2019. With nearly unanimous support from MPs aside from members of the ACT Party. ACT pushed for gun legislation reform as part of negotiations when forming the coalition government. Last week, the government also designated Hamas in its entirety as a terrorist organisation. The government previously only gave this designation to Hamas's military wing. For our weekly catch-up, I spoke to ACT's Simon Court about the considerations behind both of these decisions. So I wanted to first ask you about the government's plans to rewrite the Arms Act. What changes can we expect?
Well, the government won't be introducing any new firearms types into the country as part of our review and update to the Arms Act, except for those that are already available to licensed firearms owners under the current laws. We've heard from Labor last week that semi-automatics were banned. They never were. The 6,600 people are still licensed to have them under the current regime. So we're focused on fixing Labor's patchwork, that mess of firearms law and regulation, to create a more stringent and risk management approach, which will enhance public safety and increase compliance with the licensing system. And that will be a review and replacement of the current Arms Act, which has been led by a firearms safety expert, and that's ACT Minister Nicole McKee.
So you have proposed reintroducing those semi-automatic weapons for competitive shooters, and police have advised that making these more widely available could see them end up in the black market. How will you ensure that your legislation ensures community safety and that this does not happen?
Well, under Labor, New Zealanders became less safe and firearms-related incidents became more and more common. In that one-year period between May 2022 and May 2023, gang members who are on the National Gangs List committed on average 2.8 firearms offences every day. That was under the previous Labor government. What this government will be focused on is making sure that we have a risk based approach when it comes to licensing people who have a lawful purpose to have firearms. Currently, around 6,600 licensed firearms owners currently are lawfully entitled to possess and use semi-automatic centerfire rifles, and we're not proposing to introduce any other types of firearms into New Zealand. But Nicole McKee was a sporting shooter, a successful one, won medals. And I think it would be fair to say that there's a small but important group of New Zealanders who feel that they could and should be trusted to have those firearms that they previously had for sporting events, including competing overseas at all kinds of competitions. But any changes to legislation will be focused on risk management and certainly be taking the police's views on board as the legislation progresses.
Another interest group has expressed concern, that being Muslim New Zealanders, that loosening our gun laws could mean that a tragedy like the mosque attacks of 2019 happen again. How can you reassure our Muslim communities and the people of New Zealand that this will not happen because of your law changes?
Well, the Royal Commission and other inquiries identified that the person who committed those atrocious attacks on mosques in Christchurch should never have had a firearms license. They were not a fit and proper person, and yet they were issued a license. Under the proposed changes, we will be focusing on risk management, risk assessment, a much more stringent approach which enhances public safety. And so, we would provide assurances to those concerned about firearms ending up in the wrong hands that is this government's primary focus, making sure firearms don't end up in the wrong hands and that includes gang members who appear over the past few years to have ready access to pretty much whatever they wanted.
The government's also announced that you will be making changes to firearms prohibition orders in an effort to improve public safety. Currently, police can get an urgent warrant when there is suspected gang activity, and under the Search and Surveillance Act, police can also conduct a warrantless search in relation to a firearms offence. So could you explain how the changes you've proposed are different from what was introduced under Labor?
Well, it's correct that there are already provisions in the law to intervene when the police identify people who should not have access to firearms. One of the challenges is while those laws are going part of the way towards solving the problem, there are other issues where people who are visiting a home, for example, or who are consorting with others who may be licensed firearms owners shouldn't be able to do that because of the risks that they pose in their communities. So look, I'm not over all the details of that legislation, but I understand that the intent is to strengthen it, make it easier for the police to use when they identify people who should be prohibited from being around firearms or having access to them. And so, we'll wait and see what that legislation looks like when it comes out.
To move on, the government last week designated Hamas in its entirety as a terrorist organisation. What considerations were behind this decision?
Well, Hamas has carried out the most atrocious attack in Israel on October 7th. Prior to that, it appears that they had access to a significant amount of funding and financing coming from their offshore business activities. They have operations in a number of countries around the Middle East and were able to carry out what on the surface appear to be legitimate business activities while funneling that money into terrorist activities. So it's right and proper that the New Zealand government has joined the United States and others in designating Hamas a terrorist entity, so that if New Zealand does detect that there is money flowing to that agent to that terrorist organisation, that we can intervene and put a stop to it. Where previously, without having made that designation, New Zealand wasn't in a position to take any action.
So to clarify, if the government does detect that aid was not being provided to Hamas's military actions specifically, Hamas also has a government wing which employs nurses, cleaners and teachers, would you then potentially look at revoking this designation?
These are two separate matters. I mean, the fact that a terrorist dictatorship employs people is not the same as New Zealand having the power to identify where the terrorist organisation is raising money, and they might be through what appear to be legitimate activities. For example, banking, construction, supply and logistics, freight and transport, where they're carrying out these activities and the profits or the revenues from those businesses are going to fund the terrorist organisation and their activities, that is something that New Zealand has now said, we will not allow Hamas to do that or if New Zealand knows about it, we'll be able to do something about it, which previously we couldn't. That's quite separate from a terrorist dictatorship employing nurses and doctors. We don't have any influence over that.
Foreign Affairs Minister Winston Peters has stated that our government is appalled that hundreds of Palestinians were killed while seeking aid near Gaza City last week, and we just saw a similar attack on Palestinians waiting for flour. Will the government condemn Israel for these actions?
That was truly shocking to see how desperate the people seeking aid were. I think that if we're going to resolve the situation and New Zealand's going to play its part, what New Zealand should be advocating for very strongly is that Hamas lay down their weapons and release the hostages so that aid can flow into Gaza as quickly as possible. The problem is currently that Hamas has numerous battalions of fighters who are continuing to engage with the Israeli Defense Force in civilian areas, using civilians as human shields, and they frankly don't seem to care about the suffering of their own people.
Does the New Zealand government, are they aware that Israel is preventing humanitarian aid from entering Gaza or from reaching Palestinians? Is this something that you accept is true?
Well, I'm not aware of those reports, but it is certainly true that it is very, very difficult to ensure the safety of aid shipments. I mean, truck drivers are absolutely terrified when they are asked to take aid into Gaza. If their security can't be guaranteed, then the aid will not flow. No truck driver is going to say, yeah, no worries, I'll jump in the cab after seeing what happened last week.
So, do you see the Netanyahu government in Israel as having any responsibility in creating the conditions that led to any military action from Palestinian resistance groups like Hamas?
Are you inferring that somehow Israel caused Hamas to attack them on October 7th? I mean, that's outrageous, but I'm assuming you're not.
A lot of groups have said that the Israeli government has played a part in creating conditions that led to military action from Hamas.
Yeah, it's pretty atrocious victim blaming if that's what they're saying.
Would you say that using claims of Hamas are using Palestinians as human shields to justify the killing of Palestinians would also be victim blaming?
Well, if you're referring to the way Hamas has located itself amongst civilian populations, they've fired rockets from schools, apparently UN-funded and controlled schools. They've hidden their hostages that they've taken back to Gaza, in bunkers under hospitals. They have their main communication centres, IT systems located under large hospitals. I mean, this is all information that has come out since the Israeli Defence Force entered Gaza. So there's no question that Hamas is hiding amongst the civilian population, and by their actions and deeds, don't seem to really care about the fate of the civilians they're hiding amongst. If they really cared, what they could do if they're seeking a ceasefire and restoration of services and a flow of food to Gaza, they could put down their weapons and release the hostages, and I'm sure they would find a way to do that. And peace could return in some form, and an enduring solution could be found. That really does lie with Hamas, who hold over 100 people still, men and women, and some babies, in fact, in bunkers and tunnels underneath Gaza.
Would the government ever consider declaring the Israeli Defence Force as a terrorist organisation?
Well, that doesn't sound like there'd be any reason to do that. I mean, the Defence Force of Israel is operating as best as they can, they would say, within the international laws of armed conflict. I mean, New Zealand's role here has to be helpful, and if that means helping by pointing out essentially where aid can be delivered, what kind of conditions would be required for an enduring ceasefire, that would be New Zealand's role. A performative act like declaring a nation state, a democracy, a terrorist entity, extremely unhelpful. And there's no sense that that's a policy that would be seriously considered.
And just lastly, the government has imposed travel bans against some Israeli settlers who committed violent acts against Palestinians in the West Bank. Does the government have any further plans to sanction Israeli settlers or Israeli military actions?
Look, it's good that the New Zealand government has followed the lead of the United States in identifying individuals who have carried out crimes. It's also important to note that Israel itself takes these crimes that those settlers are accused of having carried out very seriously, and they are subject to the full force of the law in Israel. But when we think about how to solve this problem. This is a problem for Israel and its neighbours to solve. It's not up to New Zealand to be taking unilateral action, which is highly unlikely to be helpful and more likely to end up that New Zealand actually becomes a less trusted partner for those involved in the peace process. So I think New Zealand is treading a careful and thoughtful course in terms of its international diplomatic role right now. And, I think we can only hope that the situation resolves itself with the release of the remaining hostages who are still alive and a ceasefire as soon as that's possible.
But the government at this stage does not have any plans to condemn the Israeli Defence Force's actions specifically in relation to attacks on Palestinians waiting for aid?
Well, I'm not aware of any New Zealand government intention to do that, but I'm also not familiar because I have the infrastructure and resource management portfolios of all of those discussions. What's quite clear is that when delivering aid into Gaza, it is very, very difficult to ensure the security of those aid convoys, given the huge pressure from people who are hungry and who are desperate to get hold of some of that aid.
So are you insinuating that the people waiting for aid would be violent? Is that what you're insinuating?
Well, what we've seen, there's a number of cases where aid convoys have been attacked when Hamas's own police fired on crowds. So we can see the desperation that these people are in. So, look, that's a problem for whoever's delivering aid to Gaza. And I'm sure that the New Zealand government, in its wisdom, will be offering to assist in any way it can diplomatically, but it's not a problem that New Zealand can solve from here.
That was ex-Simon Court on gun laws and Israel's war in Gaza.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.